The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article are notes from the contributors of Essence. Darian Simone Harvin, an award-winning reporter and noted voice covering beauty at the intersection of politics and pop culture. Harvin is the founder of Studio Simone, a news and curation platform that serves as a living, breathing reminder that beauty is culture, always. The author of Black Icons, in her story, 50 legendary women interviewed music artist Kalila for the Black Femme Renaissance. Harvin, who grew up in Buffalo, New York, currently lives in Los Angeles. Kalila Underwood, with over 10 years of experience focused on style editorials and luxury brands, including stints at the Zoe Report and Refinery 29, Underwood helped craft our annual Best in Black Beauty Awards, a former celebrity news reporter whose subjects have included Viola Davis, Gabrielle Union, SZA, and many others. She has also covered runway beauty trends live from Paris, Milan, New York City, and places in between. Her byline has appeared in Elle, Ebony, and Us Weekly, among other notable publications. A proud alum of Howard University, Brooklyn-born Underwood keeps her purpose rooted in prioritizing and amplifying the views of Black women. And Jerita Renee, this Brooklyn-based hair artist, has a resume reflecting broad expertise in fashion, advertising, and TV film projects spanning more than a decade. Her signature style of offbeat looks has earned her an impressive roster of clients such as ID, Nike, Ulta, Calvin Klein, Allure, Facebook, Google, Nordstrom, Harper's Bazaar, and Vanity Fair. Renee authored the Hairspray Diaries and Hair Hex to equip aspiring session stylists with the resources and references needed to be successful in the fashion industry. For Essence this month, she worked her magic on the ladies showcased in our annual beauty awards. Kennedy Carter, a Durham, North Carolina native by way of Dallas, Carter makes photographs with a focus on Black subjects. Her work highlights the aesthetics and socio-political aspects of Black life, as well as the overlooked beauty of our experience, skin, texture, trauma, peace, love, and community. She aims to reinvent notions of creativity and confidence in the realm of Blackness. This month, Monique Rodriguez and her husband Melvin for our cover feature, An Empire Built on Love. The next article is Essence Editor's Letter. For centuries, society has tried to separate the words Black and beautiful as if they were some sort of oxymoron. But there is no beauty without Blackness. That is true when we consider the amount of money Black women spend on beauty products despite continued inequity in the marketplace. It is also evident in the pervasive impact Black culture has on beauty standards, from dark lip liner to slicked back buns, or as TikTokers coined it, the clean girl aesthetic. There is so much beauty in being Black. In this issue, we tackle all things that make our lives beautiful and celebrate the unique effect we have on the beauty world. In our cover story, An Empire Built on Love, Monique Rodriguez and her husband and business partner Melvin open up about their decision to join forces with Procter & Gamble. The announcement of the acquisition was met with mixed feelings after a viral TikTok video made by a white content creator resulted in the brand's wildly popular rosemary mint oil being out of stock in stores. We look at what happens when Black entrepreneurs aim to serve their community while scaling their business. Can they do both? Our feature, Shades of the Boardroom, also celebrates the Black women in beauty who have claimed a seat at the table and are making space for more color in the profession. In an industry run largely by white men, how's that for irony? These executives are quite literally changing the face of beauty. Speaking of Black women changing landscapes in white spaces, we chat with White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, who proudly honors her Haitian heritage and queer identity in her history-making role. And as we have done every year since 2008, we highlight the incredible Black women in Hollywood who made waves in 2022. Hollywood may not always acknowledge our contributions, but Essence will consistently give Black women flowers for the gifts and talents they share. And what's more beautiful than the unique way we tap into our village to raise our children? We tackle the difficult task of balancing intergenerational parenting styles in gentle parenting, but make it Black. Last but certainly not least, we serve up all the beauty products you'll need to live your best life this year. From the most effective creams and serums for hyperpigmentation to lip masks and moisturizers that will leave your skin feeling supple, we've consulted the experts to help us curate this year's Best in Black Beauty Awards. As always, Essence has you covered. The next article is titled, Shades of the Boardroom. Black women haven't always felt seen in the world of beauty. Meet 16 executives from CEOs to VPs who are here to change that. Although Black people spend an average of $1.2 trillion on beauty products each year, according to MBS Intelligence 2022 study, the majority of the industry's executives are white men. The irony speaks volumes, especially considering how much money Black women generate for the industry. But efforts to diversify the beauty world are slowly beginning to bear fruit. The year 2020 marked a turning point with the launch of organizations like Aurora James's 15% Pledge, which works to ensure that major retailers commit 15% of their shelf space to Black-owned brands. And Uoma Beauty's Sharon Schuter created Pull Up for Change, which encourages corporations to be transparent about the number of Black people they employ. In addition to such groups, there are dynamic Black women who are currently key players in leading beauty companies. They are fighting to make the business more inclusive and industry reflective of its consumers from the top down. These women deserve their flowers for the work they do every single day. Here are the beauty executives, from department directors to vice presidents and chief executive officers, who are shaking things up and claiming their seat at the table. Alexis Avent, Before pivoting into beauty, LA-based Avent had a career in fashion, including internships at Fendi and Diane von Furstenberg, plus a stint at Ralph Lauren. In 2015, she began working at Clinique as a marketing associate. Soon after, she was a brand manager at Revlon. In 2022, she stepped into her role as brand director at clean hair care firm Briogeo. Alicia Williams. Since 2015, Williams, who is based in Florida, has dedicated her career to ensuring that brands like Converse, Advent Health, and Noodles & Company are championing diversity and inclusion. In 2021, she joined the beauty industry with the same intention as Diva Curls, Senior Director of Anti-Racism and Racial Equity. Amy Alyssa Jackson. Jackson has been, among other things, a staff writer at People Magazine, a lifestyle editor at Ebony, and director of content marketing at Glassdoor. It is safe to say that her vast experience has left her well-equipped to be the global marketing vice president of Tracee Ellis Ross's Pattern Beauty. Since 2020, the LA-based executive has been responsible for shaping the narrative and direction of the successful hair care line. Cara Robinson-Sabin. Since 2019, Cara has kept busy as the CEO of Sundial Brands, adding the title President of Beauty and Well-Being for Unilever North America in 2022. She oversees iconic labels such as Dove, Vaseline, Nexxus, Shea Moisture, Nubian Heritage, and Madam by Madam C.J. Walker. Prior to these roles, she worked in management positions at top companies such as Clinique and NARS. Desiree Rogers. As Black Opal's chief executive officer since 2019, Rogers has been successful at reviving the legacy brand. The Chicago native's journey thus far has been equally impressive and includes past roles such as social secretary to President Barack Obama and chief executive officer of Johnson Publishing Company. Erica Dickerson. Dickerson will inspire you to do it all. Not only is the LA native the global beauty director of Game Changing Brand Beauty Blender, but she's an actress, co-host of the podcast Good Moms, Bad Choices, and founder of the Good Vibe Retreat. Essie Bracey. After 25 years at Procter & Gamble, Bracey went on to become the president of consumer beauty at Coty. And since 2018, she paved the way for more diversity in the beauty world as the executive vice president and COO of Beauty and Personal Care at Unilever. Helen Nwosu. The beauty industry isn't known for being the most sustainable, but people like Nwosu, Vice President of Social Impact at direct-to-consumer customizable beauty company Pros, are doing their part to ensure that brands are held accountable. Previously, she worked in the sustainability department at Louis Vuitton and as an executive director at Science Couture. Jamila Spleen. Spleen has over 10 years of experience in the industry, including as a formulator and chemist at Mana Products, where she went on to become the International Regulatory Affairs Group Manager since March 2021. The Brooklyn-based exec has held the Director of Regulatory Affairs position at Milk Makeup. Jennifer Jackson, the Columbia Business School grad, has spent nearly 10 years at NARS. The New York-based Jackson's tenure has included titles such as Senior Manager of Global Marketing, Executive Director of Global Marketing, and Vice President of Global Marketing, her current position. Cleona Mack. This dynamo has more than 10 years of experience in the beauty biz in positions at firms such as L'Oreal and Tarte. Mack has been bringing a diversity perspective to her role at Glossier's first ever senior vice president of marketing since 2021 when she started at the brand. Mandy Fields. Since 2019, Fields has brought her finance expertise to the industry as chief financial officer of e.l.f. Beauty. Previously, she worked as an analyst at J.P. Morgan and Gap before becoming a finance executive at Albertsons and BevMo. In addition, Fields is on the board of directors at Allbirds. Peyton Dix. During her time as head of social media at Paper Magazine and as special projects editor in Style, Dix made a name for herself in media. Since August 2021, she's been shaking things up as the global social director at MAC Cosmetics. Rhonda Ruff. For Ruff, the National Education and Events Manager at Rose, Inc., beauty education is what keeps her going. She began her career in 2003 as the Regional Education Manager at Benefit Cosmetics before becoming an educator at the Aveda Institute and later an account executive at Juice Beauty. Sarah Curtis Henry, after working with brands such as Clinique, Fresh, and Tatcha, Henry began at Christian Dior in 2021 as the Senior Vice President of Sales and Retail. The Brooklyn native quickly moved up the ladder, gaining the title Chief Commercial Officer of Parfums in North America. Tadra Mitchell Jackson. Based in Atlanta, Jackson has over 20 years of experience before her current post as CMO of Sundial Brands. She was a leader at Procter & Gamble, L'Oreal, and Revlon, and founded a boutique marketing agency, TMJ Omni Enterprise LLC. The next article is titled, Gentle Parenting, But Make It Black. As a new and more affirming approach to child rearing gains traction, experts share ways to get members of your village who are still locked into traditional parenting practices on board. The adage is true that when it comes to the intentional raising of our children, it takes a village. But how can we as parents and caregivers call on that network if we are raising our kids using methods that our support system finds unfamiliar or new age? A quick skim of the upbringing side on Instagram and you'll notice that gentle parenting seems to have solidified itself as the foremost style for millennials and the current batch of Gen Z parents. Accounts dedicated to educating the masses about the benefits and challenges of what's also called intentional parenting have skyrocketed in the last few years for Black moms and dads who believe in the approach. This form of parenthood is a chance to give our children a freedom and softness that many of us weren't afforded, and an opportunity to give our own inner child the space to feel hailed, heard, and honored, including our extended community, and that commitment to creating an environment modeled on love, mutual respect, and safety is not always an easy task. That's because not everyone, particularly elders, knows or understands what gentle parenting is, while others believe the style to be too hands-off. The number one presumption about gentle parenting that I hear is that there's no discipline, and that's simply not true, says Destiny Ann, a certified parenting coach and mother of two who has amassed almost 350,000 Instagram followers for her down-to-earth, relatable advice. Discipline means to teach, and through my coaching work with parents, I try to show them that discipline comes from leadership, she continues. It doesn't need to be a power struggle. Children respond to routine and balance in the home, and Anne explains that too often there is a misalignment of values between what is expected of our children and what they see displayed in the home. You need to set your child and yourself up for success. Figure out right away what your values actually are for a happy and healthy home. Values alignment is also key in how we invite our circle into our gentle parenting practice. Trina Green Brown, founder of Parenting for Liberation, a virtual community uplifting Black mothers and fathers, suggests we seek to understand other perspectives. Ask them how they understand or interpret gentle parenting, she says. Ask them what parenting style they feel like they most align with and why. You need to understand what their beliefs and value systems are so you can work to unpack that together. In the case of gentle parenting, practicing what you preach is also a critical factor for success with fellow adults. If gentle parenting is about being gentle with our children, supporting them when they are having a hard time or big feelings, and creating healthy boundaries, then we have to practice those same things with our village. Brown says, if the adults in our community don't understand or have hesitations, we have to meet them where they are. We can't force or make demands of people because then we are not actually in alignment with our own values. In my own still relatively young motherhood journey, I was initially drawn to gentle parenting because it reflected the type of person I wanted to be, patient, understanding, and flexible, and somebody who held and enforced healthy and reasonable boundaries. Applying that to raising my son seemed to be the next logical step. My husband and I agreed that our starting point would always be ensuring that our son knows that he is loved and safe with us. Always. By extension, we would have to ensure that those around us and around our son agree to uphold that same value. Thankfully, we have been fortunate to have experienced almost no pushback. In explaining gentle and intentional parenting to my own parents, I expressed that this was in no way an indictment on how they raised me. In fact, my childhood was peaceful and filled with adoration. My approach then was simply building on the foundation that they laid while also using the privileges and resources afforded to my husband and me that they may not have had. So many of our parents and grandparents were shaped by their difficult circumstances, Anne says. People do the best they can with what they can, and sometimes the easiest way to manage was spanking or sending kids to their room or screaming. It was quick and seemingly effective. In contrast, gentle parenting is an ongoing conversation with yourself and your child. What is it that you're really feeling in this hard moment? What am I feeling? How can we keep each other safe right now? It's not always easy. This is a rewiring of our brains. So, how do parents ensure that the community surrounding their children maintains the same level of safety, mutual respect, and parameters, and acknowledges that we can't force people to do things the same way that we do, but that your child being exposed to different environments won't undo all the hard work you have done? We have to build resilience into our children, she says. We have to teach them how to self-regulate when mom or dad are not around. Most critically, we have to figure out immediately what our non-negotiables are for our kids. Are you a no-spanking family? No yelling. Make those things as clear as possible and decide on consequences for breaking those boundaries. Perhaps equally as important, when you're inviting your community into your intentional parenting practice, Brown points out that you too have to be willing to learn. You need to have an open mind and an open heart in order to collaborate in good faith. Be vulnerable with people. Share that you don't necessarily think you're doing everything right. Share that you are open to learning from them too. The raising of a child requires curiosity about your child and the infinite ways in which they are becoming, and about the infinite ways in which you as the parent are both learning and unlearning. Anne sees parenting as leadership, and the best leadership is done side by side. As Bell Hooks wrote in her preeminent book, All About Love, when we love children, we acknowledge by our very action that they are not property, that they have rights, that we respect and uphold their rights. Hooks describes this as liberative parenting. And perhaps that's actually what is at the core of and what's at stake with gentle parenting for Black parents and caregivers. Liberation. Brown agrees and encourages the inclusion of our village in gentle parenting simply by letting them bear witness to it. If they can see how you engage with your children as people, they will see how they gravitate to you, how they listen to you, the responses you get, she says. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.